Did you go, Roy, did you go to the premiere last night?
No, I didn't go to the premiere. I decided to just stay at home and watch it there and right off of it live because I was working and I wasn't quite sure how the media setup was going to be at the premiere, so I skipped that. But I'll tell you what, I was very, like everybody else, I was very impressed. I thought it was great. The one of the things that Hard Knocks does so well is they offer something to everybody, the casual football fan, the person who doesn't really care about football at all, like my wife, for example, sitting there watching with me. And, she truly does not, she's not a football fan. She could care less. But I mean, she loved the stuff about Gerald McCoy with his kids.
With the kids, yeah.
Yes. And she loved the stuff about Jameis Winston at home, his grandmother's house and learning about him and where he came from. And, for me, a lot of that stuff was stuff that I knew about Gerald McCoy, carrying the rookies' pads and stuff like that, have to serve before you can lead and that kind of thing. We've known that for years, but I also love the fact that you got to learn something about the players. You got to get a look inside, what goes on in the football field. So great thing about Hard Knocks to me is that there's something there for everybody, the diehard, the casual fan, and the person who, is truly on the inside and follows everything that goes on with these guys. You're going to find something new no matter what, I think, in every episode.
Well, 5 weeks, they got to jam a lot of stuff in an hour each and every week. So a lot of stuff that wouldn't you like to get your hands on the film that doesn't get it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes, no doubt about it. Because I guarantee you, they can make 5 shows out of that.
They can make a daily show out of that
Sure.
because of the amount of tape that they use, but. Everybody was wondering about the premiere. They're not going to have that Tampa theater on every show, are they?
I don't think so. No, I'd be surprised if that was the case. I think it was just for the first episode last night, and it went down well. From everything I heard, again, I wasn't there, but from everything I heard, it went down real well. I think everybody was very pleased because they brought out some old Buccaneers players. I know Mark Royals was there, Michael Clayton was there, so it was good to see some of the alumni show up. And it was a good event for the fans, for the suite holders, and for the sponsors that were involved. So, hey, you want to celebrate something like this, and the Buccaneers are doing a great job of that. And it was great that they had Dan, some of the people there from Hard Knocks to answer questions about the process and everything. So, I really think they're doing a great job with the whole thing. It's not the easiest thing in the world for the football team. But at the end of the day, they've embraced it, and I think they're going to be very, very happy with everything that comes out of it.
Well, it seems like the coaches were the only ones that didn't want to watch it. They're so busy doing what they have to do. They don't have time to watch something like that, or do they? And do the players have time to watch something like that?
The players have the time, but they're not going to wait around till 10 o'clock at night to watch it. Talking to Ali Marpet yesterday, I was asking him, so you're going to watch this? And he goes, well, when's it come on? I said, 10 o'clock. And he goes, oh, I'll be in bed long before then. So, and I think that's the case with some of them. Now, a couple of them, they burn the midnight oil and they're working past 10 o'clock. Jameis Winston is. I've heard stories already about Jameis Winston at bed check. In there with DeSean Jackson and Adam Humphries and a couple other receivers, and they're doing snap counts. I mean, they're practicing stuff inside their hotel rooms, at bed check, and it's so I don't know if they're going to pay much attention. As far as the coaches, they can carve out time, but the coaches are probably the ones who need to see it the least, because, like, for example, when we saw what to me was one of the more intriguing items last night was the stuff about Jeremy McNichols and how he's struggling to learn the playbook, know where he's got to go on special teams, kind of struggling with some of the technique on blocking drills. The coaches know that. They don't need to see that necessarily to learn it. That stuff's not going to be a revelation to them, but it's great for us, for fans, to learn that and to see, this is how this rookie's struggling, or to see, a guy like Raleigh Bullitt. An undrafted free agent out of Michigan State who, fairly, in terms of, where he was in the draft, you look at some of the scouting reports and some of them were pretty good, but he didn't get drafted. But a lot of people thought he could probably play in this league a little bit. And now you see why, because he's got this leadership capability. And again, today, I'll tell you what, it got me watching him more closely. The play they showed of him breaking up a pass to O.J. Howard in Hard Knocks, last night or in the current episode, I remember that play, and I remember, I got to be honest, I remember looking at my roster saying, who the heck is 49 with this long hair? And I looked at Riley Bullock, and I'm like, I know the name, but oh well. And I really didn't think much of it after that. And now today I'm watching him because of what I saw in Hard Knocks, and today I saw him make a couple more plays. So, you know, it's fun in that way because you see a guy and you see what he's doing, and you see he's doing something really well, so you start paying a little more attention to him. Same with Jeremy McNichols. I watched him a little more closely today in some of the drills just to see how he was doing.
Interesting. Roy Cummings is with us. He'll be with us until 6 o'clock if you want to join us. He is a feature author on FanRagSports.com. His Twitter handle is at Roy R. Cummings, FRS. And he's also writing for his own website, FloridaFootballInsiders.com. Let's go to the phones here with Roy Cummings. Matt is with us. Good afternoon, Matt.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
I got to say, Roy, you brought up that pass play that Ryan Bullough was guarding O.J. Howard. And don't get me wrong, I think O.J. Howard is going to be a very good player. But I was surprised watching it last night that he looked way more physical on that play than O.J. Howard did. Like, he looked like he knows he has a chance to make the team. And that was the one scene that really jumped out to me last night. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm sure O.J. Howard is great. I've heard he's been blocking people like crazy and stuff. But just on that particular play, it was very interesting to see a walk-on, you know, tryout player, undrafted guy, really, really take advantage of a rep. But I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Go ahead, Roy, if you want.
No, I think you're absolutely right about, you know, I was surprised as well. That's why when he made that play, I remember watching that one live, and I thought, well, my gosh, who the heck is 49? Because that's one heck of a play. I mean, he's stuck to him like glue. You can see it on the video there. And I'll say this about Riley Bullock. He's got some ability. There's no doubt about it. I think he's got more than just this leadership quality that the Bucks have discovered. I think he's got some speed and some quickness. He plays very good downhill. So he's a guy to watch. Look, is he going to make the roster? I don't think so. But he's got a chance to be a practice squad guy. And if you can get on the practice squad, you know, you can work your way up. Yeah, he could be a guy on special teams. So he's a guy to watch. But you're right. He's got some quickness, and he knows the play. And I think that's his key, is he knows what's going on. I mean, he really seems to study it well. He's got the mental part down. When you've got that down, you can play fast. And that's what we've seen of him in training camp workouts. Again, we saw it today. He had another couple of big plays. He got a run stuff today in a running drill. And he had a couple other nice plays where he got to the quarterback a little bit. So he's making an impression, no doubt about it.
Is he out of Michigan State?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. He's out of Michigan State. And I believe I might get some of this wrong. I believe his brother was, maybe it's Max Bullock, it was featured on Hard Knocks with the Texans a couple years ago. So maybe the family's got something going on with Hard Knocks. But it was interesting that he was featured in episode one.
Well, cool. Let's go to Jan. Good afternoon, Jan.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey.
I noticed after the show I was checking the internet and everything. He was blowing up all over Facebook and stuff. It was kind of funny, and you kind of answered my question. I was thinking that his best shot is probably the practice squad. But, I mean, people were talking like, oh, he's making the team and all this stuff. And I said, man, he's like the third-string Mike linebacker right now on the depth chart.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're right. His brother Max went to Michigan State. I was going to ask if he – I assumed he went too. But his brother had some disciplinary problems, and that's why he fell in the draft. I think he was like a six-round pick. He actually played in the East-West Shrine Game here. I remember that. And I think his brother still may be in the NFL, but he's not a starter or anything like that. I know that. But, you know, it's a nice story. And, God, I wish him well, and I really hope he makes it. But I remember the show last year with the Rams. They featured like three guys who were fighting for two different positions or four guys. I think wide receiver and linebackers, and I think one of them made the team.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Well, not everybody can make a team, you know, but there's, you know, the practice squad is what Roy said, is there's definitely room, most likely, for him on that. And then next year, let's see how you do. And you work from there.
Yeah, I hope he does. Well, Adam Humphries made the team as a practice. He wasn't even signed at first, right? He went in as a tryout player and then made the team. So, I mean, it can't be done. It's just probably the odds are pretty stacked.
Yeah, the odds are stacked against him. Dirk Cutter kind of spoke to that a little bit today. He was asked about Riley Bullock and what he's doing. And he basically said what you're saying. He says, hey, you know, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves here. He's a third team Mike linebacker right now. He wasn't drafted, but hey, he's not. You know, he's been under the bright lights before. Played at Michigan State, played big time college football, so he knows what he's doing. You know, he's passed the first part of the test to me, or he's cleared the first hurdle. Maybe that's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
In the fact that he's become noticed. That's the first thing you have to do is you have to get noticed, and he's been noticed, and he's been noticed for intangibles, which is a good thing because again, once you learn the scheme. And you let your skill set kind of just, you know, play naturally, that's when you start to play fast, and we're starting to see that. Here's the thing. He's a guy to watch going into this preseason game now on Friday and throughout the whole preseason because they're not going to cut anybody till the end. So he's a guy to keep an eye on. And again, this is one of the things that Hard Knocks, to me, does a great job of. They find kind of this little diamond in the rough. And, you know, for all we know, maybe they've gone to the Buccaneers and said, hey, you know, give us the name of a guy who nobody knows anything about, who you're really intrigued by, and maybe they said Riley Bullock, and it's easy to throw the tape together and say, okay, well, here's what we've got on him, and make and, you know, and feature him the way they did. So who knows? It could be that the Bucs, you know, kind of gave him a tip and said, hey, this is a guy to watch. We like what we see, and you know, he might be somebody who could make the team.
One from the text line here, Roy. Will Howard or Brate be more of the pass catching tight end? Well, we know that Brate was last year already led the league in tight ends in touchdowns, and that was no accident. What do you see? How so? Howard has to overtake that. I don't think he does that in his rookie season. Do you?
No, I don't. I think it probably makes more sense to, you know, to go with the guy you know more about. And to be honest with you, O.J. Howard's been a little inconsistent as a pass catcher. You know, I've seen him, you know, high point the ball at times, and I've seen him let those go through his hands. He's had it slapped out of his hands on the sidelines a couple of times. I think he's got to get a little bit better in that regard. I know the Bucs are real happy with everything he's done, but right now I think the more certain of the two pass catchers is Cameron Brate. And again, he's got the chemistry with Jameis Winston. You know, the thing, it sounds almost a little bit like it could be a fantasy question. And I'll tell you what, for fantasy fans, it's a tough call because – these two guys could cancel each other out. Instead of having one guy getting 55 catches, you could have two guys getting 35 and
right.
And four touchdowns as opposed to one guy getting 55 and eight. So, you know, it's a tough call. And but it'll be interesting to see because obviously O.J. Howard has that ability. I think he was underutilized as a pass catcher at Alabama, and I don't think that's going to be the case here, but it may be till next year, like you said, Steve, before he really breaks out.
Well, he caught a few for Alabama in the national title game, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
They used him then, but yeah. Maybe they weren't looking for him, Clemson. So I don't know how you defend that, but he'll be all right, I think. I don't think he's got anything to worry about.
No, that's the great thing is that when you've got those two players on the field together, defenses really have a problem. It's like, well, okay, who do we cover here? Who's staying in a block? The mismatches and the matchups that you can create off of that are really amazing for the Buccaneers, and that's why they doubled down on that spot. A lot of people I know going into the draft, I mean, I went through this with so many different people when I predicted that the Buccaneers would take a tight end, I think 2 months before the draft. I said, look, don't be surprised if this happens. It's probably not going to be a running back. They'll take a tight end if he somehow falls to him, and he did. And the reason was because, you know, they need a guy who can block as well as catch, and the opportunity to have two of those guys on the field at the same time just creates so many opportunities for the offense. And this dynamic of an offense, it's something that you can really take advantage of.
How is Howard's blocking? I know, you know, I haven't been able to get out there obviously because I can't drive, but Friday I have my appointment at 8:30, and that could change.
All right. I like that.
It's like, Lisa Flaherty, please sign that piece of paper.
Yeah, we're rooting for that.
But we saw great, do what he did. But he was on the team a year before that. So he wasn't anything to write home about. And all of a sudden, they developed that chemistry, and it was lights out. So do we expect the same thing from O.J. Howard?
Yeah, I think it'll develop over time. You asked about his blocking ability.
Yes.
It's like his pass catching. I mean, there are days when he looks like he can be a dominant blocker, and he really gets after it. And there are days when the technique slips a little bit. He looks like a rookie. You know, everybody wants him to look like he's a five-year veteran out of the box. That's just not going to happen. He's got a lot to learn, and he's got a lot of things to develop. I think the great news is that the Bucks have good players behind him. They don't have to rely on him heavily. I think they will be able to go into the season and have a good package of plays that he's very comfortable in. And this package will grow.
Yeah.
But I think you go into the season with a big package of plays for him that you know he's comfortable in, that he knows the plays well, that he can execute well, that his skill set at this point fits just fine, and you can take advantage of him in that way. I don't think you have to squeeze him in to do things that he's not quite ready for, and that's good news.
What has he been specializing in practice as far as the deep ball or the seam route or side? I know he's not having a good camp with the sideline routes because the ball's getting knocked out of his hands, but what is he good at?
Well, the thing I've seen him mostly really good at is running the short seam routes.
Yeah.
He's got the speed to go deep. We've seen some of that, not a lot, but I think the place where he's probably specializing in the most right now is the short and intermediate routes. He's done a good job of just, you know, beating the linebacker and getting himself open in those spots. And when the ball's right there, when he doesn't have to reach for it, when it's right there in his gut or in the numbers, he usually puts that one away. It's the one where he's got to reach for it a little bit and get, you know, let his hands come together that I've seen him miss a couple of times. But he'll get better with that as well. He'll concentrate more, and that'll all come. I'm anxious to see him in the preseason game as well.
He doesn't have gator arms, does he?
No, it's okay. Not that. It's not that. It's just and again, I don't know. I just happen to notice it seems like, you know, every once in a while he drops one that he should catch. I've seen probably 5, 6, maybe 8 of them so far in camp. And you say, you know, you got to have that one. You know, they're not always perfect passes, but an NFL, you know, pro caliber player is going to catch those passes. Certainly an all pro caliber player is going to do that. And that's what they think he can be.
Well, those things tend to work themselves out. Jerry McNichols is having problems in the backfield with the playbook, and that's something a rookie fifth rounder can't have, can they?
Well, usually not, but in this case, you know, I think he's going to be okay. You know, look, he's practice squad eligible too.
Yeah.
Would he be, you know, pulled off of that by somebody? Quite possibly, depending on, you know, what running back situations are like around the league. But I think he'll make the roster. I think he's going to be just fine. But he does have to, you know, one of the areas he messed up on, and you see it in the Hard Knocks, is he went the wrong way on a special teams drill. He's going to have to make it on special teams right now because, let's face it, you know, Quiz Rogers is going to be the guy behind Doug Martin when they open up on opening day, assuming everybody's healthy. Peyton Barber would probably be the next guy if Quiz Rogers went down to be, you know, considered a feature back type. I think right now, to be honest, if somebody is in danger of losing a job, it could be Charles Sims, because Jeremy McNichols is a guy who you believe in. You drafted him. You know, it's not that Charles Sims cost you a lot of money, but, you know, he's a little bit limited too. He seems like he's a third down back and really little else, whereas Jeremy McNichols, you know, he can catch the ball. He can run the ball. If he can find a place on special teams, he just increases his value, so he's going to have to do that. But I don't think there's any danger at this point of him losing a job. But, you know, you have to wait and see. But he's got to get a little bit better. I mean, Dirk Cutter mentioned it today. In the Hard Knocks segment, it was mentioned that Jeremy McNichols needs to, you know, spend a little bit more time in the playbook, make sure he knows where he's at on every play, work on his technique a little bit more in blocking. And Dirk Cutter kind of confirmed all that today. I don't think that situation has changed much.
All right. Roy Cummings, our guest of FanRagSports.com. and FloridaFootballInsiders.com. Somebody's asking, OJ isn't wearing Michael Clayton's old number, is he?
well, yes, as a matter of fact, but no, don't let that. He's
not a
be
jinx.
No, no, no.
And by the way, Michael Clayton is going to be doing the pregame and postgame show for our station for the Buccaneers.
There you
so
go.
You better get over your jinx spit. As far as that's concerned, because it's going to happen. I've already seen Michael Clayton in the building, and he's walking around in the building. He's the new guy. So you better get over your fear of Michael Clayton.
Good for Michael Clayton to stick around Tampa Bay after
after
his career here. He's started a nice career at Channel 10 now. He's got that morning show. Good for him. He's a good guy. There's no doubt about it. You know, the career didn't go the way he wanted it to. Didn't go the way anyone wanted it to. But this is the way it works for a lot of people, folks. And good for him for making his way post-football.
Hey,
he's done a good job.
4 years, Matt, 4 years is your average time on the field for a football player.
Yeah, that's right.
Not everybody can be a Derek Brooks or a Mike Allstott or – guys like that, you have to be lucky. You have to be really good. And, you know, some people are good, but they suffer injuries that don't let them do that.
That's right. And some guys, you know, sometimes the breaks just don't go your way. So a lot of factors play into players making it, not making it the way you want them to. But, no, there's no jinx there.
There is not. So I can't wait for people to go, oh, Michael Clayton. Yeah, Michael Clayton. So anyway, any other surprises that you've seen, Roy, as far as people that are standing out in camp that you wouldn't notice if you hadn't seen every minute of camp?
Oh, there's a guy named Maurice Fleming who's starting to show a little bit in the secondary. He's starting to play at a little bit higher level. I think they like what they're seeing from him. But to be honest, the place where I think I'm seeing the biggest surprise is I think they're a little bit deeper at safety than a lot of people wanted to give them credit for. First of all, I see Keith Tandy and Chris Conte making a lot of plays out there. We'll see more when they put the, you know, when the pads really go on, they go live here. I'm anxious to see how those guys look, but JJ Wilcox and Justin Evans have made plays too. I know the safety spot was a real sore spot last season. There's no doubt about it, but I think they've done a pretty good job right now of shoring it up and bringing some bodies in there that can fix that up. There's some hitters there. There's some pretty good coverage. And I think that unit's a little bit better than a lot of people want to give it credit for. I'm anxious to see how they perform. I was talking to Rondé Barber about it the other day as well at camp, and he thinks the same thing. I think the talent is there. I think that's what people have to realize. Say what you want about Chris Conte. He's certainly an athlete. There's no doubt about it. And if he can finally get into a scheme that kind of fits what he does best, plays to his athletic skill, I think he's going to be just fine, and Keith Tandy has proven that he's not just a pretty athletic player, but a very smart player. And I think those two guys have looked very good, and the guys behind him have looked good too.
Why has Conte got on the wrong side of the fans?
You know,
just like Gerald.
It's a great question. It is. You know, in Chicago, he had a couple of tough moments. There's no doubt about that. But he wasn't on a very good football team either. And he had trouble staying healthy. And so immediately when he came to Tampa, everybody started making jokes about the fact that this guy's had a couple of concussions. You know, if he could stay healthy, maybe he's going to be any good. But, you know, it's just like with any player in the secondary, it's like once you get beat for a touchdown pass, all of a sudden everybody thinks you're garbage. Well, that's not the way it is. That's the toughest position to play after quarterback on the field. You know, you try to, you know, guess what this guy's going to do as he's running full speed at you. I mean, it's not easy. And all it takes is one mistake, and yes, you're exposed. And seldom are players more exposed than they are in the secondary, a cornerback, safety. And I really, to be honest with you, Steve, I think a lot of people who just don't quite fully understand the game have taken some shots, and everybody decided to pile on. And, you know, look, he's had his moments. But he's also made some big plays.
Oh.
And, you know, this guy won his football team a couple of games last year.
He sure did.
Yeah, chasing guys down and making plays, game, you know, tackle. Picking
balls off in the end zone.
Yes.
I mean, he made some plays that not a lot of guys can make. And, you know, I couldn't see why they were so against Chris Conte.
Yeah, I think he's gotten a bad rap. I really do. And, look, I wrote something, and, again, I was talking to Ronnie Barber about this the other day. He and I agree. I think Chris Conte is arguably the best athlete in the secondary and arguably the best athlete on the football team. You ask anybody in the Buccaneers organization, they'll tell you that. I wrote that a couple weeks ago and got, you know, ripped to pieces by a bunch of people at a website that used to be in this time slot. And it's fine. Go ahead, rip me. But, you know, talk to people inside the organization, they'll say the same thing. And he's a heck of an athlete. The Buccaneers would not have been 9-7 without him last year because he picked off a pass in the end zone to win one game and made a game-saving tackle and at least one other. He's a pretty good football player. And, again, I think he's in a scheme now with a coach who understands what his strengths are and plays to those strengths. And I think we're going to continue to see him evolve as a player,
well,
if he stays healthy.
And that's the key. He's in a scheme that works for him now. You know, not everybody, was in a scheme for him to fit, but Mike Smith seems to have the right spot for him. And you have to change your mind if you had anti-Chris Conte thoughts or anti-secondary thoughts, because he's, like you said, he's a pretty good football player.
He is. You know? He really is. And you know what, Steve? Something else that Chris Conte doesn't get credit for. He got this scheme, or at least his portion of it, last year a lot sooner than everybody else did. As a whole, it took this team 2 months of regular season games to figure out what it was Mike Smith wanted. It took him 2 months to get the communication aspect down. Well, it didn't take Chris Conte 2 months.
Mm.
He had it pretty early on. He knew what was going on. And, again, look, I'm not saying he's going to the Pro Bowl, but I think he can do a lot worse, and I think people are going to be pretty happy with what they see of Chris Conte if he keeps playing the way he has so far in this camp.
How long are the starters going to go? We have less than a minute.
It looks like they're going to go about a quarter, including Jameis Winston.
Really?
Dirk Cutter was asked that today, yeah, and he said he wants to see him go a quarter. One thing, he wants to see that offensive line go for that much. I think he wants to see Jameis work with some of the young, some of the new weapons. For that long. So, you know, that could be two series. If that's the case, that'll be just about right.
Interesting. So they're going to have to play for total, Zach, or we're signing off now? I can't hear the music. So anyway, thanks to the Hard Rock. We will see you tomorrow back at the studio. And thanks, Roy.
To deep left field. This one's on its way. How far will it go?
5-3-2-1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
At the track, to the wall. Go! It's gone.
Steven Stamkos, the breakaway. Stamkos to the wall. Score!
This is Tampa Bay.